So I get a telephone call from a loved one this week to wish me happy birthday. And we get into a conversation about where we are at in our lives and what's currently going on in the country. And before I know it, I find myself telling this loved one that I'm at the place and a point in my life where I feel I can kill people. And I realize, what? At the point where I can kill people, what's going on? My name is Pastor Mozzie. Welcome to this week's edition of our message from Bikers Church in the Vaal Triangle. We trust that you've had a good week and God has been good to you. Let's just pray before we get tucked into this morning's message. Father, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the privilege of being able to call on your name. Thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit of adoption through whom we can cry out, Abba Father, and say, Daddy God, thank you for watching over your church. And thank you that regardless of what's happening in the world and in our lives, personally, in our homes and in our hearts, you remain God. You're still the same miracle working God of the Bible. And we thank you that we can look forward to the return of Jesus and your kingdom being established in our lives. Thank you that we can get to see the end of our faith, Lord. Answered prayers as we go about serving you and following you. Let your blessing be upon that which you're going to discuss this morning, Lord, and let your Spirit minister the truth of your word into our lives in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we've had an interesting week in South Africa, isn't it? If you have perhaps made the time to glimpse at the news or look at social media, I've been appalled to see what's going on in terms of the looting and the pilferage that's taking place in the country. I find myself watching this on social media and being totally disgusted and anger building up in my heart. And then before long, after a day or two, I found myself doing exactly the same thing, but with my mouth. Like people have been breaking into stores and malls and to businesses and looting and stealing and just destroying. I found myself, to my dismay and to my own disgust, doing exactly the same thing with my mouth. I was then forced to ask myself the question, what positive change am I making in my country? I'm quick to sit back from the comfort of my armchair in my home, looking at social media or the news, whatever the case may be, and have my comments and my opinions and my ideas about what people are doing, and allow certain things to take place in my heart and start speaking negatively over this country with my mouth. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the scripture says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And that's the title of this morning's thought message that I'd like to share with you. Guard your heart. Some translations say, guard your heart, for out of it spring the issues of life. The NLT says it determines the course of your life. So what goes on in our hearts determines the course of our lives. Emotionally speaking, where do you find yourself this morning? Mentally, the things that are governing your mind and preoccupying your mind above all else, where do you find yourself this morning? What happens in our hearts determines how you and I are. It's important that we guard our heart and protect it for the treasure that it is, because it determines the course of our lives. And while watching the looters on social media, I realized that I've let Satan enter into my heart and start looting my heart. The peace, the positive attitude, the hope, and the goodness of God, I let him filter in somehow through my own ignorance, I suppose, and negligence. Allowed him into my heart to start looting my heart. I ask you this morning, dear viewer, have you allowed Satan to do the same thing in your life? In terms of what you've been doing with your tongue, what have you been speaking over this nation in these very difficult, challenging times? Now, I'm not the kind of person that sits back and wants to positively confess that nothing's going on and that we aren't in dire straits and in a desperate situation in this country. The fact is, that's where we are. But the truth is, we can make a positive change. We can change things in the spiritual realm by what we say with our mouths. When we speak things in faith, moves the hand of God. You see, God's hand is not moved by fear, but by decisions that are based on faith. When people like you and me put into action what we say we believe after meditating it on it in our hearts, speaking it out and living in accordance with what we believe. I believe the biggest danger that we're facing in the nation right now is not the looting that's going on, but a place where we allow our hearts to grow cold. November this year will be 10 years ago that the Lord dropped this message in my heart, and I titled the message, Love Grown Cold. And in preparation for this morning's message, I look back on those notes. And amongst others, I shared this scripture. It comes from the New King James. And in verse 12 to 13 of Matthew 24, it reads like this. Jesus says, and because lawlessness will abound. Are you witnessing that? Seen it on TV? Maybe your workplace has been closed down because of that. Maybe there is no business premises to go back to because it's been destroyed. The abounding of lawlessness is taking place. And Jesus says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Folks, we said last week that God has got no plan B. His church is what he wants to use as the instrument of change in this country and in this world. And when the heart of a Christian grows cold and becomes loveless, well, then rightfully so, there is no hope left. Because God wants to carry his message and build his kingdom on the condition of people's hearts. And if you and I allow people, their actions, people that have been used by the devil and the devil himself to change the condition of our hearts and to let the God of our heart down and let him come in and loot and our hearts grow cold, we're truly, truly in a bad place. And I realized, Mozzie, that's what's happened. I've let Satan come in and loot my heart, and my love had started to grow cold to the point where I say to someone, I'm at the point where I want to kill people, really? As somebody who professes and confesses to love the Lord Jesus, as somebody who calls himself a Christian, somebody who likes to believe that he follows Jesus, that he lives like Jesus and loves like Jesus, you know, I could justify it away by saying, it was just in a moment of weakness, and it's okay, man. Well, it's not. You see, all it takes for the devil to get a foothold in my life is just one little foot in the door. Picture the scenario where a person of my stature is trying to keep a door closed or from allowing the enemy in. If I just have my foot in the door will not be able to close, no matter how strong the person is on the other side, because I've got a small little foothold in that door. And the same applies to the enemy of our soul. If we allow the devil into our lives, let the God of our heart down. Not the God, he should be the God of our hearts, but our God, the protection, so to speak. And we let the enemy in. We're in trouble, folks. And I've realized then that my heart and the love in my heart had started to grow cold. I say that ashamedly this morning. I'm not proud of that thought and that conversation. And we might chuckle over the phone, ha, 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 at the point where you want to kill people. But really, when God wants to use us at this critical time in this nation to make a positive change, what is the condition of our heart? And what are we saying with our mouths? I started looting with my mouth. You look at it in spiritual terms, whether people are physically breaking down buildings and burning stuff up and stealing, or breaking things down in the spiritual realm by their mouths and with their tongues. Proverbs 18 and verse 31 says, the tongue can bring death or life. This scripture is often misquoted. People say, death and life and death is in the power of the tongue. Sorry. The scripture says, death and life. The order is reversed. Because most of the time, without the Lord shaping our thoughts and the Word determining how we live, we will inevitably default to the negative side. So the scripture says death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue can bring death or life, it says. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. So there I was, pointing judgmental fingers at what I'm seeing people doing in the nation. And I'm pooling myself in that same category of people by breaking things and people down with my mouth instead of positively speaking into the situation and praying scripture and praying the word of God into those situations. Now, you might think to yourself, well, that's so basic, Mozzie, the power of the tongue, the power of the tongue. It is basic, right? Well, if it is, why am I still battling with it? Why am I still struggling then that when that comes out of my heart, doesn't the scripture say that what the heart is full of will come out of the mouth? What then has been the condition of my heart? If I allowed that to come out of my mouth, isn't that a true indication of what's in my heart instead of godliness in my heart? That's a sobering thought. If it's so basic, why am I still battling with speaking negatively while knowing full well all the promises in the scripture, while being mindful of prophecies that God has spoken over this nation and over our lives, and yet I still want to loot with my mouth? Folks, if we're going to have our say, let us speak God's word over this nation and over your lives, your businesses, your families, and friends and loved ones. If we're going to fall, let us fall to our knees in prayer. If we're going to run, let us run to the Lord as the safe refuge that He is. If we're going to fight, let us fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12 says, fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life which God has called you, which you have confessed so very well before many witnesses. And if we're going to hate, let us hate what is evil. Psalm 97 and verse 10 says, you who love the Lord, hate evil. Let's just break that down a bit. Ask yourself this morning, dear viewer, do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Then hate what is evil. And we're quick to say, oh, we mustn't hate the person who's hate the sin, but love the person. But the truth is, God doesn't send sin to hell. People go to hell. And God doesn't send people to hell. People choose to live there and live a life apart from God. But the principle is this, that if we love the Lord, we must allow God to change our hearts by Spirit to the point where we hate evil. And I had to check myself and take stock of where I was at and realized I've let the enemy get a small little foothold in my heart to the point where I let hatred take place of love in my heart, having a Christ-like attitude. Because at the end of the day, from the comfort of my armchair again, criticizing people and pointing fingers and me judging them, what's the difference between a wild soul just living wantonly and me? The only difference is Jesus Christ. What's the difference between people that are not living for the Lord and you and I, if you're living for Jesus? And that's the grace and the forgiveness and the love and the patience of God for you and for me. That's the difference, grace. Shouldn't we then be agents of change and merchants of hope to bring positive attitudes into negative situations? Are we called to be light in the light or light in the darkness? Think about that for a moment. We're called to be light in the darkness. Is South Africa dark enough for you right now, my brother, my sister? It's time to let our light shine. And it starts in our hearts. It is imperative that we guard our hearts. What are the practical ways that we can guard our hearts? Well, meditating on the Word of God, being mindful of His spoken Word. When we pray to God, do we sit down long enough to give Him time to answer back? Or do we just bring our shopping list and our requests and our orders to God and our moans and our groans and our complaints? Or do we give Him time to answer back and speak His Word into our life, where the written word, the Logos, can become Rhema, the spoken word of God into our lives? Then we let it travel from our heads to our hearts, that it changes us. And then we guard our heart, protect it. We can guard our heart by worshiping, praising God in the midst of the storm. We can guard our heart by fellowshipping with each other, encouraging one another, and allowing others to speak into our lives, to encourage us, to edify us, lift us up, and also to rebuke us when necessary, and to speak the truth in love. These are ways that we can guard our hearts, because the scripture says that there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end leads to death. If we drop this guard and let our guard down, it's just a matter of time before the enemy gets in and starts controlling what we say and the way in which we think. So if we're going to hate, let's hate evil. Psalm 97 and verse 10, you love the Lord, hate evil. It's important that we learn to hate evil, not people. So once again, going back to the images we've seen in the media in the last couple of days, how easy it is to become judgmental and critical of what we see. We start to look at eyes not filtered through the Word of God, through the Scriptures, through what God has done in our lives, but we see our eyes through secular media. And we can say the facts are, the facts are, the facts are, and rightfully so. The facts are, this nation is in a mess. But the truth is, God can change that. The truth is, your heart, your mind might be in a mess, like mine is. But the truth is that God can change that, folks. That's the good news this morning. You see, our battle is not against those people. And yes, people are agents of their own free will, and we can't turn around and blame circumstances, the government, others, and the devil. You and I have our own role to play in the decisions that we make, like the folks busy destroying this nation, one shop and one business at a time. The scripture encourages us in Ephesians chapter 6, speaks about the armor of God, verse 10 to 12. It says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's my strength there. My strength lies there. Our strength is not in our own ability and our diligence and tenacity to stay positive, because every one of us will eventually get to the end of our rope. When we get to the end of the rope and there's nothing left to hold on anymore, or to the point where we don't want to hold on anymore, and we let go, it's a good place to be. Because then the scripture says, underneath are the everlasting arms of God. We can let go and let God, as we've heard that phrase coined in the past before. At the end of our rope is where God begins, and he does his work like only he can. So it says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor, so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. How can I engage an enemy like that with a heart that is full of hatred, bitterness, criticism, skepticism, and having a judgmental attitude? How can I engage those enemies? You see, if that's where my heart is, folks, I've lost the battle before I've even begun, before I enter into the playing field, onto the battleground, so to speak. If that's the condition of my heart, the condition of your heart, we've lost the battle already. May we make the time to allow God to remind us, where we say, Lord, what must I do to guard my heart against evil? The gates that we have in our lives are five senses: what we see, what we hear, what we touch, what we taste, and what we smell. Make sure that we're not allowing any opportunity or avenue for the enemy to get in and to mess up the guard that we place in front of our hearts to watch over this. In the light and in spite of everything that's happening in this nation right now, we want to make this declaration and say this. We want to have this final word to the wicked. Proverbs 2 and verse 21. Two scriptures from Proverbs we're going to read. Proverbs 2 and 21 says, for only the godly will live in the land. When's that going to happen, you may ask? I don't know, but I know that promise. For only the godly will live in the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. Can we honestly, in all sincerity, with a clear conscience before God this morning, say that we are godly and that we're people of integrity? I'm not talking about the external facade and the public image that people see you in your faith circles, in the church circles, at work or wherever, in your social groups with friends and family. But in the hidden recesses of your heart, that which God knows and you know, can we say that we are godly? Can we say that we are people of integrity? Because the scripture says that only the godly and the integrity will remain in the land. That's a promise that I want to hold onto in my heart, folks. And I want to guard that promise in my heart so that the devil does not steal that from me. And then last, but by no means least, Proverbs 14 and verse 19. Evil people will bow before good people. The wicked will bow at the gates of the godly. This principality, this power, this spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenlies will bow its knee to the lordship of Jesus. I want to encourage you with this. We see seasons come and go. The season we're in this country, shall come to pass. I want to say that about God's word this morning. His truthful promises that are held onto dearly by his people who guard his promises in their heart, those promises, dear listener, will come to pass. May you and I make the time and bring about the changes necessary in our lives to guard our hearts against the devil getting any foothold in our lives this morning. Would you pray with me as we close off together? Father, thank you for the privilege of being stirred in our hearts by your word. Thank you that we can receive your challenge from your word this morning, Lord God, to guard our hearts. And Lord, we spoke briefly about the armor of God. This morning, we want to speak that over our lives again in Jesus Christ's name. We ask, Lord, that we keep on the helmet of salvation, having our mind protected and the senses of our lives protected and guarded by the word of God, what we see, what we hear, the things that we meditate on and that we think about. Guard our hearts, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And then we put on the breastplate of righteousness. We, with repentant hearts, we can come before you and confess our sins before you and say, Lord, we need your grace and forgiveness like everybody else. Having the breastplate of righteousness where we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then the belt of truth, the truth of the word of God that keeps it all together and on us all, the truth that sets us free. And then we pick up the shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart of the enemy. You've given to each man the measure of faith. And then may our feet be shod with the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, being ready to go and tell and to speak to anything and everyone that would listen. May we be ready in season and out of season, Lord, so that that which comes out of our heart will be life-giving words that change people's lives and bring the life, love, and power of Jesus into every negative situation. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. May your word dwell in us richly, Lord God, that we might sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to encourage one another in the name of Jesus. And then it doesn't speak about our backs being protected, but you are our rear guard, Lord God, to protect us from the enemy blindsiding us, so to speak. And so, Holy Spirit, speak into our lives this morning. Speak into my life as we pray this morning together. And show us, Lord God, what we need to do to guard our heart against the wiles of the devil. And Lord, may we be found to be ready, if and when you call us, to be obedient in whatever way that you would use us, Lord God, to make a positive change and to stand strong, to be there for our friends and family, that we might be strong to those who are weak, Lord God, that we might be a source of comfort and peace and love and merchants of hope, Lord God, in this time, in this nation, in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you, family, once again for joining us this morning. Thank you for making the time to listen and to meditate on this. I pray that you make the time to do just that, to examine your heart and ask yourself honestly where you are at and make sure that the guard of your heart is up and that which God has deposited in your heart is kept safe. We're looking forward to in-person fellowship once again. When is that going to happen? We don't know. We'll wait and we'll see. Until such time, remain faithful to the Lord. Remain faithful to His call on your life. Thank you once again for your faithful weekly and monthly financial contributions. We love and appreciate you for that. Thank you for your continued obedience. May the Lord richly bless you because of that. Until such time that we get together again, may Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you His supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We love you dearly. Take care and God bless. Cheers.